Well, hello to everyone, and welcome to call number one of Think Pink and Grow Rich. My name is Chris Kenny, and I'm here with Nancy Roberts. We want to give a really heartfelt welcome to all of you, and first of all, show complete gratitude for the fact that you're here with us and that you've trusted in us for the next 6 months, and we're trusting in you as well, and investing ourselves in you. So we're here. We're committed to your growth and development, and welcome to the journey. So we're excited. So tonight's topic, as all of you know, is going to be the topic of mission. You can call it mission. You can call it discovering your why. Call it whatever you want. But the importance of it, and I know in Mary Kay, it's something that's talked about quite a bit. You know, discover your why. Make sure your why is more important than the discomfort, all of those things. That all they all come into play. And I'll tell you, the person that's going to run this call is Nancy. And we always start this program. I'm going to start with a little bit of a personal story about myself, my interaction with Nancy, and this topic actually strikes a little bit of emotion in me, and it comes from several years ago when I met Nancy, because when I met her, I was in a really unhappy place in my life. I was really in a job that I absolutely despised. I had the Sunday afternoon blues. I don't know if you've all had that in a job where, you know, Sunday afternoon comes and you start to dread going to work the next day. Well, that's really where I was. The tough part for me was I was making a really good income. I had an income that was over six figures, but I was completely lacking passion. I was completely lacking purpose in my life, and I was a little bit depressed about all that. And Nancy and I happened to meet, and we met at a networking function. Of all places, we met at a B&I group, and we established a friendship because I was really on the cusp of a really large goal. I was trying to make Circle of Excellence for the company that I represented, and I know Mary Kay has a Circle of Excellence, but it represented about a $30,000 bonus to me, and it represented a raise the following year and several things, and that was really where, you know, she sort of got her a little bit of attraction, I guess, toward me, was I was really working toward a heavy-duty goal. And I ended up hitting it, and again, I ended up getting the bonus and all of the financial reward that came along with it. But again, none of that matters if you're lacking passion and if you're lacking purpose. So she said, well, you know, why don't we have lunch? Let's talk about, you know, how we can help each other, how we can help each other build business. And what ended up happening was we went started talking, and we started talking about mission. And this was the first time in my life that I had had anybody talk to me about mission. And she started asking me a lot of questions, and the conversation got, you know, pretty deep. And I think I got a little bit emotional. And it was at that moment that I realized how special Nancy was, and I realized that I really wasn't living on my passion and on my purpose. And it was Nancy that taught me the importance of living my mission, and it was Nancy that helped give me the strength and give me the courage to actually pursue my mission, which is training and coaching. And here we are with a multiple six-figure coaching company working together a few years later. So it's an absolute dream come true for me. And I say that, it does, it makes me a little bit emotional. You all are in good hands for the next hour or so. And I just want to welcome you all and just hand the call over to Nancy. And we're getting some calls in, so I'm wondering if people are having trouble getting into the line. So hang on 1 second. All right, I just wanted to document the number coming in. I'm going to hand the call over to Nancy, and I'm going to return this phone call on myself.
All right, thank you. So Chris shared a little bit about the discovery of his mission, and throughout this call I'll share a little bit about mine, how I discovered it, when it was, how it came about, because I think it's really important to understand the process. You know, for some people it's kind of you know, an overnight sort of thing. We just got an email from someone who said, I just figured out my why this weekend. Like it was a light bulb that went off. For other people, it takes for other people, it takes some discovery. It takes some homework. It takes some reflecting. And quite honestly, it can take some time. So it may not come to you, you know, immediately. So I want to just put that out there so that you don't have this expectation that, you know, after this call and maybe a little bit of homework that it's just going to come to you automatically. It might take a little bit more reflection than that. The second thing I want to say is about mission that, you know, when we've done this call before in other programs, it can get pretty deep for people. We're asking you to look at some really deep stuff, to dig really deep. And a few people have gotten stuck, sort of stuck in their tracks, so much so that we decided the last time we did this program not to do this call first. Because we almost got a little scared, like, wow, people got really stuck on that first call and it derailed their program. So we didn't want that to happen again. But there's a reason we put it first again in the program. One was because when we did it again, but we did it at a later date, people said, wow, that was profound. You know, love that information. I got emotional. That was exactly what I needed. I've been trying to discover my why. It makes so much more sense now. And we realized when we created this program, the Think Pink program, mission really was the foundation of it. We wanted the why you would do your business, to be the thing that started the whole process. You know, we structured this whole program, and you should have received a model that looks like a triangle, around, you know, mission, mindset, and then managing your business. And for us, if you don't know your why, you can work for years and years on your business and not feel fulfilled. So we put this call first again, even though it's deep. So here's what I would say. If after we do the call and you do the homework, and we might even open the lines in 2 weeks when we're back together again on our training call and just touch base and see how everybody did, if you get stuck, if it gets too deep and you feel blocked or you get depressed or something like that happens, please reach out to us. Either send us an email or book a coaching session with us so we can work through it with you, okay? That being said, before I jump into the content for tonight, I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping, just a few things about the program that we need to make sure that you know. First of all, you will receive quite a few emails from us if you haven't already experienced that. So make sure that you're getting them. Make sure they're not going into a spam folder or a junk email folder. When you get emails from us about this program, they will always say TPGR, which is Think Pink, Grow Rich, and then 3, because this is the third time that we've done the program. So you all are group 3 of the Think Pink, Grow Rich program. So if the email just says in brackets TPGR3 in the beginning of the subject line, and then it'll tell you what it's about, whether it's the worksheet or it's the call-in information, et cetera. So it's just kind of like the updates of the program. If you get an email that says TPGR3 insights inside of brackets, that is additional material to this program. So like between now and the training call in 2 weeks, you're going to receive some emails about mission because we wanted to build up the information that we give you. We wanted to give you examples. We wanted to give you stories. Sometimes we're going to be sending you video or audio or a newsletter or a quiz or something like that around the topic that we're discussing. The reason we're doing that is so that for 2 weeks, you're not just kind of off on your own outside the conversation of mission, and then we come back in 2 weeks and teach you something else. We sort of wanted more congruity and you know, flow to the program. So be on the lookout for those emails as well, the TPGR3 Insights emails. Okay, and then the last piece of bookkeeping is this. We want to build more accountability into the program. Now, Chris and I are happy to keep you accountable when we talk to you on your coaching calls and when we get emails from you and when you make a commitment to us about doing some homework or something like that. But we've also decided that you need a little bit more accountability. So what we're going to offer to do is have you group up together as accountability partners. Okay? Now, we recognize that this isn't going to work for everyone, so we're not trying to make it mandatory. So what we want to do is offer it to you. If you want an accountability partner through this program, what that means is another participant And you can set it up any way you want, whatever works for you and your partner. If you want to touch base once a week by phone, if you want to touch base, you know, by email, if you want to talk, you know, every other week, whatever you guys decide to set up that works for you is great. We just want to make this available to you. So all you have to do if you want an accountability partner is send us an email that says accountability partner in the subject. And just give us the basic contact information for you, you know, your email, your phone number, best phone number to reach you, best time to reach you, your position in the company. And then we have your assessments, we have that information, and what we'll do is we'll try and set you up with the ideal partner for you. And then that way you can connect with each other and you can decide exactly how you want to hold each other accountable. We know that in a six-month program, the enthusiasm is really usually very high in the beginning, but we always know that that trails off. So your accountability partner may become really important in, you know, month two, month three, month four, when other, you know, important things come up and you start to be distracted. So let us know if you want an accountability partner and we will put that together.
Yeah, and the last thing that I want to add before we dive into the content, you know, with our housekeeping, and I know I've talked with some of you about this, and it's the whole concept of email access. And it's shocking to us how frequently we notice that we put that offer out and it doesn't get used. So we want to challenge all of you to actually utilize us as often as you can throughout this program. You'll get out of this program what it is that you put into it. And we can't help you if you're not reaching out to us. We can't help you if you're not sharing, you know, any struggles that you're having and you're not willing to reach out and communicate. We're here for you. We're here to be of service. But that means you have to take the initiative and send that email. Talk about that struggle, whatever it is. Ask for suggestions. Ask for help. And if you do that, you're going to get a response from us, and we'll interact with all of you as frequently as you want to interact with us. You just have to be willing to send that note. And some of you are using that already and seeing tremendous value because it's sort of a way that you can get one-on-one coaching. You know, it's going automated. We're sending notes back and forth. But it's, my gosh, it's so valuable because it's your specific thing that you're dealing with. It's not general content. It's your specific thing, and that's your opportunity to get help with that particular thing, whatever it is, that particular struggle. So I'm just urging all of you to use the email access because it's here for that reason, and we can't help you if you don't reach out.
Okay. So well, let's jump into the content now. All right. So if you have your worksheet for tonight, you'll notice at the top there it says, what is a mission? So we're going to go through the worksheet. Part of this tonight is going to be homework. So I'll tell you which parts I want you to work on for homework. But part of it is going to be like a live working call. Like I'm actually going to give you a little bit of time to work through some of the answers here. So let's first of all talk about what a mission is. Your mission is, so number one there, your mission is your purpose. Like Chris said, there's different names, you know, you can give this. It's your purpose for being and for being born. Your mission is also your legacy. Like, how do you want to leave the world a better place? What's the legacy you want to leave? And then your mission is also your why. And we know that the why or your why is talked about frequently in Mary Kay, and a lot of times we'll have people call us and say to us, I need to know my why. I don't know my why. Everybody's talking about knowing your why. So, again, your mission is your purpose for being and being born. Your mission is your legacy, so that's how you'd like to leave the world a better place. And your mission is your why. And that quote there to the right, it says, William Barclay said, there are two great days in a person's life, the day they are born and the day they discover why. So there are two great days in a person's life, the day they are born and the day they discover why. So your mission, number two, your mission really gives your life meaning. A lot of times people, you know, they go and accomplish the things in life that they think they needed to accomplish. You know, they went to school, they got the good job, they got married, they had children. And at some point, and a lot of times it's sort of in that, I don't know if it's middle-aged or they call it the midlife crisis, that people all of a sudden stop and say, but what is all of this for? I've done all the things I'm supposed to do to make me happy and fulfilled, but there's still something missing. Matter of fact, I think a midlife crisis is very often when people all of a sudden realize that the life that they built is not exactly the life that they wanted, but they don't even know what they want anymore because it seems so far away. So really, when you discover your mission, it should give your life back its meaning. Number three says, at the end of your life, you will wonder three things. You will wonder, did I live? Did I love? And did I make a difference? So you will wonder, did I live, did I love, and did I make a difference? So did I live means did I really live? Did I live my life fully? Which means not the life that others expected of you. You know, did you take risks? Did you go against, you know, tradition and other people's expectations? Did you achieve your potential in this world? And really, it does take walking away from other people's expectations sometimes to achieve our potential. Part of my story and my history is that I was raised in a very male-dominated family, male-dominated religion, and women had a very specific role. They, you know, my mother, my sisters, all my sister-in-laws, they didn't work. They stayed home and had children. And while I loved having a stay-at-home mom, that was not quite the path I had carved out for myself in my mind. And so I really had to kind of go against the grain and people's expectations in order to pursue what it was that I was passionate about, which was coaching, you know, people and helping other people live an uncompromised life. So the second one, did I love? Did I care enough for others? You know, when you are at the end of your life, it's not so much your accomplishments as it is your relationships that you are either grateful for or have regret around. You know, you might ask, who will miss me when I'm gone? How open was I with my real feelings? I once heard someone say, it was a woman who, she worked in hospice, so she was working with people dying all the time. And she said, you know, Nancy, she said, the most suffering that I see around death is when people are incomplete with the person who's dying. So they either didn't tell them how they really felt or they never really expressed themselves, and they have all these things that are unsaid. When that's the situation, she says, death is very painful. She said, but when you see a family who is very complete, they've expressed their love, they've expressed their anger, they've expressed everything, she said, death can actually be a very beautiful thing because there's nothing left unsaid. And I just thought that was really interesting from that person's perspective. So were you open? Were you fully expressed? Did you say what you needed to say? And did you, you know, share the love that you had with people? And then the last one, did I make a difference? That's really about feeling like your life mattered, you know, that you mattered, that you had an impact in this world, and that you served people while you were here. So those are the three questions. To me, that's what you'll wonder when you, you know, at the end of your life, but that's the three things we should be wondering now. How are we living? How are we loving? And how are we making a difference? That should guide us every single day. Number four says, your mission makes sense of your suffering. Your mission makes sense of your suffering. So I know, you know, a lot of people ask when bad things happen, why am I going through this? Why does this happen? Or why do, you know, bad things happen to good people? And really, to me, you know, like I said, I had a religious upbringing, and of course they had their explanation for why people suffered, and as most religions do. But when I finally realized the purpose of our suffering, and I'll explain that a little bit more as we go on, it all of a sudden gave me this feeling of peace, that the reason we go through difficult things is for a very specific reason. It's not just for the suffering, the sake of suffering. It's because we're supposed to learn from our suffering, and we're supposed to teach others from our suffering. Otherwise, there's no purpose to it. But when we go through something that's difficult, if we can learn from it, and if we can teach others from it, then it has a purpose. So number 5 says, most religious or spiritual philosophies attempt to answer 2 things: why we are here, and why does suffering exist? So any religion I've ever studied would have different doctrines around these 2 topics: why man's here, and why God allows suffering to happen. And the interesting thing is, our mission answers both of these. So when you discover your mission, it's like all these questions that you may have been asking for a really long time become really clear. Okay, so on the next page, the top there, number 6, it says, make your mess your message. So make your mess your message. And this is something we heard from a coach we met maybe a year, year and a half ago. And while I had understood the concept, you know, like mission will make sense of the things that you've suffered, I loved how she said it because it was so succinct. Take the mess, the problems you've been through, the trauma that you've been through, you know, here's an official word, all the crap you've been through, and turn it into your message, because you went through it for a reason. Right? You survived it for a reason. There's definitely something that you can teach from it. So people, a lot of times, they're so embarrassed by what they've gone through that they're so busy hiding it. I talk to women every day who have had, you know, terrible things happen, let's just say in their business. They lost their directorship. They had 3 directors quit on them in, you know, a matter of a week. They had a car. They lost a car. They racked up so much debt in their business. They're so ashamed of it. And they're mortified because they have to hide this. Well, I'm going to say a quote to you, and I want you to write this down. And the quote said a man, but we can replace that with a woman. A man is only as sick as his secrets. So let's change that to a woman. A woman is only as sick as her secrets. So these failures that we have, or these you know, mistakes that we've made that we're so embarrassed about and we try to hide from, these are the things we actually are supposed to share. It seems so counterintuitive, but that's what it means to make your mess your message. So number 7 says, that which you are most ashamed of, that thing that you're so afraid people will find out about you, that is the thing you most need to share. That which you are most ashamed of, you most need to share. So this is what I want you to think about, and why this is so important. Somebody right now is out there suffering like you were when you went through what you went through. And all they're waiting for is for someone to come along and say, you'll make it. You'll be okay. I talked to a girl, a young girl, she was in her 20s, this was just a couple months ago, who was carrying such a burden from her childhood, something she had done in childhood at a very young age. She had carried this secret and this burden her whole life, and she went to a counselor, and shockingly, at least this was what her memory recalls, the counselor made her feel very guilty about it. And almost made it sound like it was a crime. But then because she was the age she was, then he didn't necessarily think it was a crime. Well, when she shared it with me, my response was, you were so young and you had been abused and perpetrated, it's no wonder that you wouldn't know that that was wrong. And she broke down and she said, Nancy, I've been waiting my whole life for someone to tell me it wasn't my fault. that because I was so young, I had no comprehension of what I was doing. Can you imagine carrying that kind of burden? So that's the possibility that exists when you make your mess your message. You get to free somebody else from going through that kind of shame and that secret that you went through. So let me give you an example of this so you can kind of put it into context. And it doesn't always have to be the most, you know, I don't want to make it sound like it's always got to be the most horrible, dark, deep secret either. But basically, you know, my background is that I was raised in, like I said, in a religion where the women typically didn't work. And money was viewed as hard. You know, working was hard. Earning money was hard. And the money itself was viewed as bad. So my father had a really conflicted view around money. I could tell he wanted it, but when he would get it or the people that had it, he would view them, if he saw rich people or he worked for rich people, they were crooks, they were dishonest, they were greedy, they were materialistic. So I got this, you know, financial blueprint, which, by the way, we do a whole call in this program on financial blueprint, what your financial blueprint is from childhood. So I got this financial blueprint created that said money's bad. There's something inherently wrong with wanting to earn money. So I found myself, you know, in my early 30s, starting my own business and struggling and racking up debt and wanting to be independent, wanting to have my own business, but I didn't know how to sell. I didn't know how to market myself. And so I just kept racking up debt, and more debt. I was literally, you know, paying my cash or my rent in cash and charging my groceries and gas. That's how I was getting by. Well, lo and behold, a few years later, I had racked up $60,000 in debt. And it's still hard for me to say that number because, you know, it kind of grows and you're like not paying attention to it. And you swore it was 30 and then you're looking at it's 45 and you swore it was 45 and then you're looking at it's 50. And so I didn't tell anybody that I was in debt to that level. I never told my parents. I wouldn't tell, obviously, my friends and the men I dated. You know, it was one of those secrets. You're mortified for somebody to find out. So I had, at one point, looked into bankruptcy. But because I had learned about this financial blueprint and I realized, wow, you know, bankruptcy is how my family's gotten themselves out of their financial jams, I think I'm going to actually choose something different. I was able to change what I needed to change in my financial blueprint and in my business to start working off the debt. And I want to tell you, I am almost debt. I mean, I could be debt-free if I just wanted to pay it in one chunk. But I have one little credit card left where I have a small monthly payment on it, very low or like 2% interest or something like that. So I'm just letting it sort of pay off on its own. But from $60,000 in debt to almost absolutely no debt is an amazing feeling. And now what's great is I actually get to help other people do that. I get other people to, you know, call me up to confess their debt. We have a discussion about it. We talk about the internal part of that, the practical part of it, and I can help people actually move, you know, change their business in order to get the money to start paying off that debt. That feels so great for me because that's part of my mission is freeing people. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So I just wanted to give you that example to see how something you are really actually embarrassed by can lead you to understand part of your mission. So number 8 says, your mission provides the inspiration to take action. Your mission provides the inspiration to take action. So when you really land upon your mission, when you feel it, you're going to be inspired. All of a sudden, you're going to want to do something. You're going to want to talk to somebody about it. You're going to want to share it with somebody. And I would definitely encourage you to do that because that's how you know you're getting close to discovering your mission. Number 9 says, if it has no passion, it can't be your mission. So your mission will light you up from the inside out. Your mission, it, like literally when you start talking about it, your energy will change and you'll start to glow. People will notice it about you. So if it has no passion, it can't be your mission. And this number 10 goes along with that. You will be compelled to talk about your mission. So whether it's part of your job or you get paid for it, it's like you can't help it. You can't help yourself but talk about your mission. So for example, you know, if I'm just out with friends and it's just social time and somebody is having a challenging time with, let's say, their business or their relationship or something like that, I'm sort of a coach through and through. I should have known this about myself when I was younger and I was always trying to coach my friends. It's like I can't help it. I'm compelled to want to help people see things differently. That's really like my gift, is to reframe things and help them see it from a different perspective. So you'll find that you do this naturally, whatever your mission is. And here's the thing to remember. You may already be living your mission to some extent. It doesn't mean that it's this grand scheme or this huge life transition in your future that you have to change your entire life around to reach. You might already be living your mission. A lot of women in Mary Kay, because of the values and the mission of the Mary Kay business of enriching women's lives, are absolutely already on mission working their business. And you can see it. It's like it lights them up from the inside out. There's no doubt about it. And number 11 says, you will attract people to you who need your message. So if you keep attracting a certain type of woman into your business, if you, you know, find yourself attracting certain friends and things like that, those are women who probably need your message. They need to know what you've gone through and how you helped yourself. So that's usually a clue as well. So discovering your mission. So here's where we get into some, you know, sort of the concepts around creating your mission statement. And again, I'm going to leave you with some homework to do. So number 12 there says, it's called the deathbed discovery process. And while it sounds a little gruesome, there's really a purpose behind it. And this is what I'd like you to do for part of your homework. I'd like you to write your own eulogy. So imagine it's your funeral. Like I said, I know it's a little morbid, but imagine it's your funeral. And three people that are really close to you are there. And they get up to speak about you. What is it that they would say? What is it you would hope they would say? Forget about what, you know, what you think they'd say. What is it you would love for them to say about you? So when I did this exercise, I picked my mother, my sister, and my niece. And I didn't even realize at the time, consciously, I wasn't aware that I picked three women. So looking back, I was like, oh, that's interesting that I picked three women. I picked my mom, my sister, and my niece. And when I read, and of course, while I was doing this exercise, I was very emotional, so don't be surprised if emotion comes up while you do it. But what I was so fascinated to discover was that what I hoped each of them said about me was how I embraced freedom in my life, how at all costs I was free. I pursued financial freedom. I pursued time freedom. I pursued relationship freedom. And what's so amazing is that I look at those three people in my life and I see that they don't have freedom. And so what I think I wanted them to acknowledge was that I always inspired that in them. That I tried to lead the way or lead the path or, you know, set the example for being free in life. So anyways, do that for homework. I think you'll find it really enlightening. Number 13 says, what are you willing to die for? Sometimes we have a really strong value around something. Something that is so important to us, we know if the moment came where we had to choose, would we die for this thing, we would die for it. And then put that one word, that one thing you would die for in that line. It could be your children. It could be freedom. It could be peace. It could be your country. It could be, you know, anything that comes to mind. What were you willing to die for? It could be integrity. And then ask yourself, am I willing to live for this? If that thing you're willing to die for, are you willing to live for it? Are you willing to, you know, create your life around that? And here's something I want you to think about, something I forgot to mention when you're doing the homework. I want you to really get quiet and listen to what comes. Because we've talked about, you know, on our New Level, New Devil calls, if you were on those, we talked about the conscious mind and the subconscious. And Chris and I talk a lot about that in this program, so you're going to hear a lot about that. But one thing we know is things will come up from our subconscious mind, and our conscious mind will stamp them down. So when you get quiet and you're doing some journaling and you're doing some writing, you may have an idea. You may have a little inkling come and say, wow, I would really love to do blank, blank. I would really love to help, you know, this group of people. But then your conscious mind goes, that's not practical. You know, how are you going to do that? How could you possibly make money doing that? Well, what are you going to do with this? And how are you going to pursue that? You know, it's like all the challenges. I want you to ignore that conscious voice for a little bit and just let your subconscious go and let it dream. So that means just keep writing when you're journaling. Don't censor it. Just write whatever comes. Don't worry about what's not practical yet. Just write whatever it is that shows up. Let me just take a sip of my water because I'm talking a mile a minute. Okay. Another thing to think about when looking at what, you know, discovering your mission is what angers you about people or the planet? What angers you about people or the planet? Because if something angers you, then, you know, it can only anger you if it's in you. And so what we say to people is if you can cry about it, if you can get upset about it, if you can get angry about it, you can sell it, right? So that's a guiding principle to your mission. If it's something that angers you and you would like to fix about people or the planet, that's pointing you in the direction. I'm number 15, and I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to write between these questions because I want you to capture some thoughts if they come up. Number 15 says, if you could talk to any group of people to shake them up and wake them up, who would you talk to and what would your message be? So again, if you could talk to any group of people to shake them up and wake them up, who would you talk to and what would your message be? And I'm just going to give you a minute just to jot some notes down. Okay, so again, if you want to spend some more time on this when you're doing your homework, that's fine. Number 16, what are some challenges, hardships, issues, setbacks, and pain you have faced? So what are some challenges, hardships, issues, setbacks, and pain you have faced? And I'm going to add in there injuries and illnesses as well, because those come up quite a bit. People who've suffered some, you know, debilitating injuries or illnesses. Because remember, you want to make your mess your message. Well, any of that stuff can be your mess. And a lot of times people, I'll hear people say to us, well, you know, should I really talk about it? Should I talk about where I was stuck or, you know, the problems I've gone through? Because doesn't that just keep bringing them up? Doesn't that make it worse? And I usually say, well, you're not talking about it right now, and how's that working for you? Are you getting the things that you want? Because that which is in you that gets expressed, it sets you free. Just like that secret. Once you reveal that secret, it sets you free. That which is in you that doesn't get expressed will eat you from the inside out. So those things that you've gone through, not only do you want to get them out and shared and revealed to free yourself, but remember, it frees others as well. So just think of some of the challenges you've been through: divorce, disease, debt. Well, they all start with D's. Isn't that interesting? Deaths that you've endured. Those are all things which you could help others face. Okay, 17. How do you believe you could help others overcome similar issues? So what is it that you could share? You know, what process or step have you taken that helped you? You know, how have you dealt with it? You know, and a lot of times we go, well, you know, I don't know if I've dealt with it. I can't say I'm never depressed, or I can't say I never get angry about what happened. But if you're even out of the situation, then you're further along than a lot of people. So I may not be completely out of debt. I wasn't out of debt 2 years ago when I started teaching people about financial blueprint and how to get out of debt. But I was certainly a lot better off than I had been. So I'd learned something. And I was also a lot better off than a lot of people were. So remember this. To every third grader, every fourth grader is a god. So to every third grader, a fourth grader is a god. Meaning you don't have to have everything handled in order to be an inspiration to other people. Okay, so number 18, I'm also going to give you another minute to think about this too. If you found out that you only had a week to live, what would you regret not fully doing, being, or having in your lifetime? If you found out that you only had a week to live, what would you regret not fully doing, being, or having in your lifetime? Go ahead and write that down. Whatever comes to mind. Okay, so number 19, if you could start fresh with no past and a totally clean slate and live your life over, this time you would. So again, if you could start fresh with no past and a totally clean slate and live your life over, this time you would. Okay, so again, you might want to take more time and finish these exercises, you know, when you do the homework. I would encourage you to, as a matter of fact, but for the sake of time, we do have to move on. Okay, so number 20, there are three simple elements to a good mission statement. What you do, because all missions are based in action, who you want to help, and what you want to help them to do. So what you want to do, who you want to help, and what you want to help them to do. So this next exercise in the next couple pages is also part of your homework, okay? So what you're going to do, turn the page, is you're going to answer those questions. You know, what is it you want to do, who is it you want to help, and what do you want to help them do? So number one there's a list of verbs. Okay? So what you can do is first go through the verbs in circle around 10 that really excite you. You like the sound of them or the energy that the word brings to you. And then you want to eliminate until you get down to 2 verbs. Okay? So just keep comparing them against each other. So if I said, if I circled educate and manifest, but I had to narrow them down, I'd say, well, which one's more inspiring to me, educating or manifesting? Then number 2 on the next page is who are you here to help? So there's a list of groups or causes, and you can go through the process again and select the one that appeals the most to you, okay? Now, if there's a group of people that's on that's not on this list, because we obviously couldn't think of everything and everyone, then go ahead and write it down. But see if, these kind of jog your ideas. Then what you do is you put it all together in the bottom there, okay? So now put it all together. My mission is to blank and blank from the first exercise, 2, 4, or with the group or cause that you selected, so that they can, which is what it is you want to help them to do. And once you've got all those pieces, then you can now combine it into one statement or one sentence, okay? So as you're working on this, if you have any questions, like Chris said, feel free to reach out to us by email. You can also, if this is a topic that's really striking you, you can book a coaching session with us. We'd be happy to talk, you through this. But right now what I want to do before I let you off the phone and have you go, work on crafting a mission statement, is I want to give you some criteria for writing your mission, okay? So some people get locked into a certain thought that, their mission has to be their business or something like that. And so I just want to give you the criteria so when you're writing your mission, you know whether you're close or not, okay? So 21 there, so criteria for your mission. 21, which is on the last page, says, your mission is not your job or your business, okay? Now, your job or your business may be the vehicle that you've chosen to fulfill your mission, but it itself is not your mission. So let me explain that, because I know that's sometimes hard for women in Mary Kay, because Mary Kay feels like it's their mission. But let's say, and I know this is really far-fetched, let's say something bizarre happened in this world and Mary Kay Corporate disappeared. The company was just gone, vanished off the face of the earth. Like I said, I know it's a stretch, but just work with me here. Just because Mary Kay, the business, would be gone, does not mean your life then would have no meaning and that your purpose is gone, okay? You may have the purpose of enriching women's lives. Maybe your purpose is to inspire women to be more than they ever thought they could be. Well, if Mary Kay went away, you'd have to find a different vehicle in order to do that, but you could still do that. You could still live your mission. So I hope that makes sense. A good example of that is not Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. When he, his mission was to end apartheid in South Africa. That is what he lived for. He feels that is what he was put on this earth for. Well, he was thrown in prison. So a lot of people would say, well, there's no way he can live his mission or work on his mission while he's in prison. What can he do? And yet he never stopped working on his mission and having that be his intention. And he was in prison almost 30 years. And, of course, when he got out, he became president of South Africa and abolished apartheid. So our circumstances don't dictate whether we can live our mission or not. Okay, the mission is like it's in you, and you just have to find the vehicle to express it. 22, now this is a tough one, and the one I probably get the most resistance from people who hear this, from women. Your mission is not your role, meaning it is not just your role of mother or maybe daughter or sister or whatever it is. That is not the sole reason you're here, Okay. Now, I know when you have children, it absolutely feels like they are your mission, and that's the only reason you were put on this earth was to give birth to those children. But you have to think of this, try and think of this practically. Take the emotion out of it. Something can happen to your children. I know it's horrifying to think, but it's true. There are women who lose their children. Your children grow up and they leave. They get out on their own, and then they have their own mission and their own life. And then what? So if your children were gone, or if they, you know, grow up and they go on to live their own lives, then what is the purpose of your life? You have a mission besides just raising children. Now, that doesn't mean your children aren't part of your mission. They very well may be. They may be the vehicle through which you are expressing your mission currently. But if they are the only way that you ever express your mission, then when they leave, you will experience that empty nest syndrome that so many women experience, because they've never thought about a different way to express their mission except through their children. So just, you know, just keep that in mind. 23, and we said this earlier, if it has no passion, it's not your mission. So if you call me up and you're like, well, I think I found my why, and I think I'm here to inspire, and you're not excited about it, I'm going to tell you that's not your mission. Back to the drawing board. We've got some more work to do. Number 24, another criteria. Your mission has nothing to do with money. Your mission has nothing to do with money. You can be dirt poor and fulfilling your mission, or you can be one of the richest people in the world and be fulfilling your mission. Mother Teresa and Oprah both are fulfilling their mission. Mother Teresa lived in poverty. Oprah, wealthiest woman alive, both living their mission. So it has nothing to do with money. I will say this. I think if you're pursuing your mission and you're happy, it is more likely that money will come, because it's easier, quite frankly. When your work is your mission, it's just easier to work because you enjoy it. Okay, 25. Your mission does not have to be huge. Okay, so I know I've mentioned people like Mother Teresa, Oprah, Nelson Mandela. So it may, you know, start to get this feeling of like, oh, my God, does my mission have to be global? Do I have to end poverty or hunger? It doesn't have to be huge, but it will force you to grow outside your comfort zone. Okay, your mission does not have to be huge, but it will force you to grow outside your comfort zone. There was a show on ABC a little while ago called The Secret Millionaire, and it showed people that would, many non-famous millionaires, that would go find, you know, they would go to a city or a poor part of town, and they would volunteer for these charity organizations. And when they would find ones that they thought, you know, were worthy, that they really resonated with, they would donate money. And they had to donate, I think, they had to donate at least $100,000 of their own personal money to these charities. Well, when they went to find these people running these charities and these nonprofit organizations, they found many, many people living their mission. And let me tell you, sometimes these people didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they were loving their life, helping people living their mission. So again, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to make you a millionaire, but it will push you out of your comfort zone. 26 says, your mission is based in action, we've already mentioned that, and is always about serving others. So when I first was, you know, talking to my mentor about my mission, and she said, well, what's your mission? I was young at the time, and I said, to have fun, to live a life of adventure, you know, and I didn't know it at the time, but all I was describing was a life that would just serve me. And that's never what you're here for. Your life is here to serve others. So I love this quote. You might want to write this down. Your talents are God's gift to you. What you do with them is your gift to God. So your talents are what God gave to you. It's his gift to you. What you do with them are your gift to God. So 27 says, your mission may never be completely fulfilled in your lifetime. So you may have a mission like end racism, end hunger, end discrimination, etc. And that may never be completely fulfilled in your lifetime, and that is okay. Sometimes missions are so big that we can't actually see the end, but you will still work toward that end. And then 28 says, your mission is 10% discovery and 90% decision. And the reason I leave you with that is because right now you may be in the discovery process. You may actually already know your mission, and then all tonight's call did was validate that you're on, you know, you're on the right track and that is indeed your mission. Or you might be fully into the discovery process. I don't know my why and I want to know. Well, at some point, you can actually drive yourself crazy trying to figure out the exact thing to do, the exact thing to try. Is that my mission? So that's why I leave you with this. Your mission is 10% discovery and 90% decision. So once you have a feeling and a strong, you know, I think I would like to do this, then it's about deciding to go take some action in that area. Okay? Because your mission can change. Your mission is, it's not static. It's fluid. It will, you know, adapt over your life. It will change. You will reword it. You will rework it. And that's okay. I want to leave you with this quote by this motivational speaker, Les Brown, who I heard speak once. It was great. He said, you don't have to be great to get started, but you do have to get started to be great. So if your mission and you discover something and it points you in a direction and it puts an action in front of you or a person for you to go talk to, that is your inkling. That is your kind of intuition guiding you to go take that next step. And you don't have to worry about being great. You just have to worry about getting started. So again, he said, you don't have to be great to get started, but you do have to get started to be great. Okay, so that wraps up tonight's content. Again, you've got a couple of homework assignments to work on. Please email us if you get stuck or you have any questions or any clarification that you need. And then remember, too, to send us an email with account, I see a couple have already come through, so that's great, with accountability partner in the subject line. Give us your basic information, your contact information, you know, email, phone number, and then the position that you're currently at in the company. We're going to set people up with accountability partners. That will happen before the next call in 2 weeks. And lastly, don't forget that you're going to be receiving emails from us for the next 2 weeks about mission, with additional information, additional clarification that will help. So make sure you're checking out those emails. I've loved being with you tonight. Thank you so much for calling in. We're so excited to be with you for the next 6 months. Please reach out to us if you need anything. But everyone have a great night, and we'll be with you again in 2 weeks.